and welcome to the Mental Breakdown Morning Show. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
you leaned back and you were like, ah.
I'm just
here we go.
Ready for Wednesday. I'm told this is hump day.
It's a great Wednesday, November 16. And Richard, today is the letter from the listener day.
Right.
But there's not a specific letter for us to talk about because
we
actually got several
letters. Not letters. Letter. Right. We have several letters that have the same theme.
Right. Okay. And so we're not going to read a specific one, but this was sort of a common theme among different messages we got, emails and letters and things. Right. And it does touch on the election a little bit. And so we've worked really hard over the past week not to talk too much about the election, not to spend much time talking about it, because it is... Unfortunately, it has been such a polarizing, much more polarizing than previous elections, or at least any elections that I've ever experienced in my life.
More than ever.
Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to avoid some of that and just touch on some of the peripheral issues and sort of referred issues that are associated with it.
Right. The nation and the world are in shock, and we decided long ago not to add to that in any way.
Right.
There are other things that we need to be working on, focusing on.
Right.
And we certainly didn't want to contribute to that.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely.
But these letters did come in.
Yes.
With a I think a real legitimate question that we really would like to take up this morning.
And these letters came from parents of children, primarily girls, who were really closely following the election and really took to Miss Clinton, Hillary Clinton's campaign, and were following her and supporting her. And so they were really upset when she did not win.
That's right. There was such hope. I mean, and especially for girls, because this is, as they say, the last glass ceiling.
Right.
You know? But this would have been an enormously historic event.
Right.
And so parents of young girls, I think in particular, were really excited about the possibility, because then you truly could say to your daughter, you can be anything you want. And it's not just a dream. It has happened. Yeah. So there was a huge disappointment because it was such a buildup.
Absolutely. So. And so what the parents wrote to us asking is, you know, when they look at Miss Clinton, they see this woman who has, you know, went through two campaigns.
She did this twice.
She didn't win the nomination against 2008 Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. But then she became Secretary of State, and then she, you know, of course, she was a senator, and then now she went through this and she won the primary, but then now has lost it. But she continues to be very positive, very gracious. Hopeful and gracious and looking to the future. And so the parents are writing asking, how do we teach our girls that? How do we teach our kids that? Because, you know, they see this and they feel defeated because she didn't win.
Right.
And again, those of us who are adults who have lived through several election cycles, we know what it's like to win some and lose some. And so we can hopefully pick ourselves up and move forward. Mm-hmm. But how do you teach kids that, who really don't have that experience, to be able to say, well, you know, here we are, we lost. And so, you know, how do you keep our daughters from living with that perspective? Well, see, there's the example that a woman can never be president.
Yeah, once again. And they're feeling such discouragement now anyway. And so how do you teach that? In another 4 years, there's going to be another election.
I mean,
we realize that because we've seen numerous elections.
Right.
Our children haven't. I mean, a 10 or 12 year old girl only has awareness of maybe two elections.
Right.
You know,
maybe
two.
Right. So what we're really talking about here is the idea of how to build resilience. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about resilience a little bit back many, many months ago. And it's sometimes when we have these topics and kind of go back and look at when we talked about them before, we really have to go far. I can't believe how long we've been doing this podcast now, but we've been doing over a year now, over 2 years now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we need to talk about, we talked about grit. Remember when we did several podcasts talking about grit, and grit is that combination of resilience and passion. Mm-hmm. Resilience, but the way that we talked about it there was perseverance.
Right.
But resilience is very similar to perseverance in that you are able to experience defeat or a challenging
Recover?
How do you recover?
Resilience is about taking the good and the bad.
Right.
I mean, sometimes bad things happen to us or happen around us if they don't happen directly to us. How do you deal with that? And how do you rebound? How do you recover from these profound... This is a profound disappointment for a lot of people, the results of this election.
Right.
So how do you pull yourself back together and get back on track and start moving forward again?
Absolutely.
How do you remain resilient in the face of these kinds of disappointments?
Right. Yeah, there's two things that we talk about when we look at one's potential for success or potential, you know, just how their outcome is going to be, how their future is going to be. And that's risk and resilience. You know, what kind of risk factors are present, but then what type of resilience factors are present. And the resilience is much more challenging. Oftentimes we can identify risk factors. You know, if you grow up in a particular types of neighborhoods, if you're exposed to particular things, that kind of stuff. But resilience factors are much more challenging to identify.
Right. Right.
Now, what we see many times is, you know, sort of the stereotypical resilience factor is when we hear people say, well, you know, there was that one teacher.
That's right.
That one teacher that believed in me, and that is why I went into science, or that's why I did this or did that.
Right.
And that counts as a resilience factor, because that was something that allowed you to pick yourself back up and to be positive and to look forward.
Right.
But others are harder to see.
That's right. And the other thing about resilience is that it is a characteristic that we typically associate with one's basic temperament.
Right.
You know, that some people are more resilient. We hear these stories about, well, I grew up poor and I made it.
Right.
Or, well, what about this person who, Ben Carson is typically used as an example.
Right.
Of somebody who grew up poor.
Right.
But who succeeded. And there are those examples. But typically, these risk factors really do work against you. So what we want to do is, because resilience is some kind of combination between one's risk factors and one's temperament, if you have the ability to overcome these disappointments, how do we teach that to our children? What can we do to teach our children? And I think this election, particularly for girls, is a wonderful... You talk about teachable moments.
Right.
This is one of those teachable moments where, amidst all the disappointment that that we might feel, that in particular that women and girls might feel, how do you use that to help your children to develop resilience?
Yeah,
that I think is the important lesson.
Right. Now, one way to sort of add some resilience, because again, when we use the teacher as an example and that kind of thing, those are things that we don't necessarily plan. Those are things that just sort of happen. It just so happens that you had that teacher. It just so happens that you had that coach or that experience. And so a lot of these things are very
They're serendipitous. I mean,
right.
You can't plan on it.
Other things can be planned by putting ourselves into situations where hopefully those serendipitous types of situations will happen. So getting your kids involved in other things. Getting your kids involved in sports and having them exposed to more people and more opportunities, that builds resilience because, again, it increases the likelihood that they're going to meet that influential person that may have may push them over the over the that hump. Mm-hmm. But it also allows it makes them more diverse in their experiences and their practices and their abilities, which is critical for resilience.
Right.
You know, when you look at Ms. Clinton. One of the things that, of course, we know about her is, you know, not only was she an attorney went through law school and everything, she was a first lady, she was a senator, she was this, she was that, she was an athlete, she was, you know, good in school. So she had these experiences that broadened her abilities, her skills, and just who she is.
They were the opportunities. I mean, they provided her with opportunities to become the person she has become.
Right.
And so that's why we encourage sons and daughters to participate in athletics, to participate in extracurricular activities, to be out in the world, because that's where you're going to learn these lessons, whether it's in school or other activities. That's where you learn it. Hillary Clinton has been very active in Title IX and,
right.
and particularly women's sports, women's athletics,
right.
And has always recognized the value of women athletics,
yes.
Women's athletics. So, but that's part of, that's only one part of being out in the world where you can learn how to become resilient and resourceful and learn how to manage success and failure.
Right.
Hillary Clinton has known some serious success.
Right.
I mean, how many first ladies have we had?
But she's also known some pretty serious losses.
I mean, very few people have had to endure.
Right.
What this woman has endured. I don't know many people who have tolerated, been able to manage an 11-hour grilling by a congressional
right.
committee. She did. And talk about grace under pressure. I mean, this woman really has it. So, and that's the role model, I think. And we can use that to teach our girls and boys how to be more resilient.
Right.
But they have to get them out there. They can't right. learn it. They can't learn it by observing. They have to learn it by doing.
Right. And that does, of course, lead to the other major way that we can try to engineer some right. resilience, and that is allowing our kids to experience different things so that they do have successes and losses.
Right.
You know, when I just this past weekend, I coached the last game of the season for my 5-year-olds. And,
funny.
You know, there's three of the kids on the team that I've had now for 3 years. This was the end of our third season together. They started at 3 years
right,
old.
That's, a parent told me that there's a three-year-old child's playing soccer.
So I had them at 3, 4, and this year was 5. And there was
they're
one
all
little
veterans
boy,
now.
They are. They're going to be so good. But what was great to see is that one of the little boys on the team, the first season when he was just 3, so he's just 3 years old, but you know, if he wasn't the one to kick the ball in the goal, he was running over to his parents crying. If one of the other kids took the ball, like from the other team, took the ball from him, he was going to his parents crying. He really couldn't handle not winning and not being the one to be the star, to be the one to kick the ball in the goal and to win the ball and everything.
There are developmental reasons for that.
Sure, absolutely. But this past weekend, we're playing, and a little girl for the other team scores this beauty of a shot. I mean, it was a great shot. And he turned around and he said, "Great shot.
Wow.
That was a good job." And he ran and got the ball out of our own goal and brought it to the middle. And he goes, "Okay, who's going to start the ball this time?" and it was a beautiful thing to see, because what he is learning is resilience. He's learning how, you know, even though the other team just scored a goal,
right,
you can still pick mm-hmm. up the ball and get started and go again.
Right.
And it was wonderful to watch. And
someone's
and
doing a good job with him. You know, for him to have that growth in 2 years,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
impressive.
Yeah, yeah. I think that his parents are really working hard with that. Mm-hmm. They have him involved in so many things. He's playing different sports and different
right.
and sports in different places. Mm-hmm. So he's exposed to lots of different kids and lots of different things.
You're not going to learn these things by sitting at home,
right?
Watching
right.
different things
yeah.
or playing different games. You got to
yeah.
get out in the world and experience this stuff firsthand.
Right.
You'll
right.
learn it.
And so get your kids out there. You know, you want to build the kind of resilience that we see mm-hmm. in some of our politicians and some of our successful business individuals. You know, when you think about, we could have used business folk as a similar example
mm-hmm.
because, you know, when you see people who have these really successful businesses, oftentimes what you don't see are all the businesses that failed that they tried to do before.
All their failures,
and,
right.
And you mm-hmm. think about that and you think, they invested all of that time and energy and passion and money into that, and it failed. But then they like picked up and then they did it again.
Right.
And it's like, why would you do that? But it's because they're resilient. It's because they have a goal. They have a mission. They have a passion, and they don't allow failure to stop them.
That's right.
And that is what we need to be teaching our kids. And that's how we teach them, is getting them out there, allowing them to experience the full range mm-hmm. of experiences. And from there, they will build the resilience that we hope that they'll
That's
have
right.
to keep them successful through their life. So.
That's right. You don't build resilience by always being successful.
That's right.
Not
That's right.
going to happen. You have to experience disappointment. You have to experience failure. Then you learn how to become resilient and resourceful.
Absolutely. So, all right. So there is our...
What does Yoda say? Try, do not...
You see, it breaks my heart when he does
say
that
it.
Kind of thing.
Just say it.
He said, try not, do or do not. That's there is right. no try.
That's right. There is no, you just have to keep doing it.
You just have to keep going.
Think of Yoda. Think of Gone with the Wind, Scarlett O'Hara. Resilient. I mean, she ripped the curtains off and made a dress.
I thought Cinderella did that. Oh, no, there was the mice that did that for Cinderella. Never mind. So.
Do. Nike yeah. got it right. Just do it.
Just do it. That's right. That's what Dr. Fernandez used to always say.
Did he?
He would always end his emails, just do it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he was right. He was yeah. resilient.
So, all right. I don't know where
what
we
is
went.
This, Wednesday?
I don't know where we went on that.
This is hump
there.
Day. This
yeah.
is hump day.
So, have a great day. You know, get out there, experience different things.
Right.
Build your resilience as well as your children's resilience.
That's right.
And we'll be back tomorrow morning with a Brown Bag Thursday.
Brown Bag Thursday.
Have a great evening, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Good.
All right, bye-bye.
Good day.